I'd like to again welcome you here to Pathways this morning. If you're a guest with us, thank you so much for coming and spending your morning with us. We know that there are a myriad of places that you can be, and you've chosen to be here with us this morning. So thank you so much for that. We welcome you again if you're on our online campus this morning. Thank you as well for spending your Christmas Eve morning with us. This morning, we're going to take a few minutes to think through encountering the Christ of Christmas. Encountering the Christ of Christmas. And we're going to be looking at Luke. You know, the New Testament begins with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the four books tell us about the arrival of the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. And of these four books, just one takes us through the scene of Jesus' birth. Matthew gives us Jesus' genealogy, his family tree. And John tells us about the deity of Jesus. The Word became flesh in John. Mark, the writer Mark, he just skips through and just goes straight to his adulthood and the action-packed way in which Mark writes. The only book that talks about and ushers in the holy moments surrounding Jesus' birth is the book of Luke. And in that story, it tells us about a group of shepherds. And this morning, we're going to take a few minutes to look at these ordinary and humble men. Now, I'm sure all of you have seen all kinds of nativity scenes. You may even own some. And there are Christmas carols and Christmas plays and all of these things interpret the story of Jesus' birth for us. And sometimes within those stories, people use what we'll say artistic license in presenting those scenes. And oftentimes, those scenes help us to enlarge our view, to help us to use our holy imagination as to what happened on that miraculous night. But sometimes those different narratives can differ a little bit with the timing and with the pace of what actually happened. Now, when you see some nativity scenes, you'll see Jesus and his parents, and you'll see the animals, and you'll see the shepherds, and you'll see the wise men, and just a whole cast of people around the major scene. But actually, that is not the case. It was the shepherds who were first notified about the birth of Jesus, and they are an important part of the nativity story, so that is what we're going to look at. As I said, the birth of Jesus is found in Luke, and that's in chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. This morning, I'm going to be working from the New King James Version, and I'm going to be reading the story in its entirety, and then we're going to go back and look at some specifics of the story. So please follow along on your iPad, phone, text, however you use your Bible, and if not, it should be up on the screen behind me as well, or you can just close your eyes and listen. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was the first made when Cyrenus, who was the governor of Syria, all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her first son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, watching over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then suddenly, there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and a babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made it known abroad, saying, which was told to them concerning this child. And all that they heard, it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let us pray. Father, your word is holy and your word is true. Your word guides, it directs, it chastens. Father, use your words and your servant this morning to again help us really, really understand the gift that you gave us in allowing your Son to come to earth as our Savior, as our Redeemer, and even our friend. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this blessing. And we say this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So the shepherds heard, and they responded to God, and they came to Christ. And I believe that they showed us how to worship Him as well. The shepherds gave us a template on when you encounter Christ. Let's look once again this Christmas Eve in the stable. These were the least likely of people to be introduced to a king. And yet, they were the most honored of all. You know, first century shepherds lived in a world that made it hard to make a living. Can anybody identify with that? Maybe it was kind of like how it is now. They struggled and scraped at minimum wages. In fact, an unnamed historian in the first century described it this way, that taxes were high, wages were low, hypocrisy was rampant, honesty was rare, freedom was gone, Rome occupation was hard, the rich were getting richer, the poor were always struggling, morality was ebbing, rebellion was brewing, and cruelty was reigning. The shepherds of the Christmas story give us a profound lesson, and they show us how God delights in using the humble. In fact, God calls some of the most distant, some of the most defiled, some of the outcasts, and He uses them to produce great glory for Himself. So, I guess one of the questions this morning is, do we have humble hearts? Are we going to decide to be among the humble that will see Jesus this Christmas? The shepherds represent the best of all of God's word about the rewards that come to those who seek Him. So let's look again at the birth announcement. And this time we're going to take it verse by verse. And now that we know what we're looking for, we're going to go back at this eyewitness account, which was the greatest event of all of human history, and capture the moment again where heaven and earth collided. Let's look again at Luke 2, but this time we're going to start at verse 8. And as we read with our mind and see with our hearts these humble men that were given the honor of greeting the newborn king. Now, there were in the same country shepherds. Now, note, their work kept them from being inside the temple and the synagogue. They were ceremonially unclean because of their work. They could not enter into the temple, even to the synagogue. So they were outcasts. And they were living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Now remember, this is the first time in centuries that God's glory was seen here. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Probably better said, they were petrified, scared, witless. Imagine you're outside in the heavens open. Then an angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." These men were Jewish. They had waited for this news their entire lives. "And this will be the sign unto you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." A babe? I thought the Messiah was coming and was going to be our Savior. A babe? wrapped in swaddling clothes. And suddenly, there was with the angel, some say it was Gabriel, doesn't say, a multitude of heavenly hosts. Now, this word is used for a military encampment. Revelation 5:11 uses it to constitute a number so large that humans can't even comprehend. And this multitude began praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, here's a fun fact. In Jewish homes, when a child was born, a son, the neighbors would come together and sing. Well, since nobody knew that Christ was going to be born that night, I guess God sent a group of his friends, a multitude, to greet Jesus, his son, his birth. And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord had made known to us." And they came with haste and found. They came with haste. That means they were certain that they found him after a careful search was made. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled. You know, in the Greek, the word thumazo is used 12 times in the book of Luke. And that means to marvel. And that's kind of the theme of this gospel, that God is awesome, and he's wonderful, and he is amazing. When all who heard the story of the angels marveled at what the Lord had done and at the things that were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. We've heard that story so many times. But again, I'd like us to listen and glean the lessons that come from this, because this really is an incredible story. I believe that there are four lessons that we can learn from the shepherd this morning. And the first is the shepherd's response. God captivated the shepherds. That announcement under the stars in the hillside of Bethlehem. One band of shepherds' lives were changed forever. In that awesome, fearful moment that they will never forget, the glorious words of that first angel will always echo in their hearts. The blazing light that would be captured in their minds forever when the light of heaven came down to earth. And the praises of the angelic multitude rang. Luke records that they rushed from the glowing skies over the fields, and they searched until they found him. Just imagine, if you will, if just for a moment you're in, I don't know, Rock Creek Park or Seneca Park. You're outside, and it's quiet, and it's dark, and you're looking at the stars. And in one moment, heaven came and touched him. I wonder if this Christmas has God captivated you and captured your heart in this way. Then the scripture says that God changed them, that the scene that they witnessed in the stable forever changed their lives. For when they found him, they were never the same again. What had happened in that moment, everything they had heard from the prophets came to life. We have the scriptures. We have the story. These men didn't have it. They had the testimony of the prophets and the promises of God. And in that moment, it all came true. Everything that they had hoped for and believed for, the angels, heaven, the promises, the prophecies, in that moment became real. And it finally all came together and it made sense. I wonder, this Christmas, has God ever changed you in that way? Has he ever come to you in a moment and revealed himself to you in such a way that you're now changed? The third thing that we can see about this encounter with the shepherds is that God actually came near to them. All of the endless sacrifices, the countless lambs, these men were shepherds. They sold lambs. They knew of the sacrifices of the temple that had to be made for all of the different ceremonies and holidays and holy days. Myriads of offerings for countless sins and promises of forgiveness. All of that in one moment became personal. The ordinary sheep that they watched and sold became the extraordinary picture of God's mercy and grace. The temple they supplied now became the place where sacrifices for their sins were offered. And at last, in that one moment, all of the rituals, all of the ceremonies, all of it finally made sense. Because they had found the promised Lamb of God. Family, has God ever become personal and real and near to you? That's my prayer for you this Christmas season. And then the last thing that I see that God showed them in this moment was that there's a new path. He started them down a new path. Until that night, I would imagine a shepherd's life was pretty monotonous, probably pretty predictable. You go, you get your seed, you feed your seed, you walk your seed. I'm sure it was pretty monotonous life. They were used to their sheep. And I'm sure sheep, you know, don't vary that much in their habits. And they probably had to take them, you know, to the same places to water them and to feed them. Can you imagine night after night you're out in the fields with your little flock and you're going through the same rituals, the same work that you've done year after year? I would imagine that the paths that they walked to feed their sheep and water their sheep have become so commonplace and so familiar that that path probably became a rut. I wonder this Christmas if we're going to allow God to start us down a new path, a new pathway. I wonder this Christmas if we as a church are going to allow God to show us a new path. Are we going to embrace a new path with God in this coming year? Or are we going to stay on the same path, the same established habits that have become embedded so deep they're almost like a rutted canyon? I guess there's a few questions other than those that we can ask ourselves this Christmas. But I suppose the biggest question on this Christmas Eve morning is, does God see us the way he saw the humble shepherds? Let's look at a couple of the characteristics of these incredible and humble men. We see here from the passage that the shepherds, in their humility, were not distracted. The shepherds listened to God. And remember that God reveals himself to those who seek them with all of their heart. Second Chronicles 16:9 says it like this, that the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Will you ask God to change your heart into a humble, undistracted heart for him this season? We also see from the shepherds' example that they didn't delay. The shepherds came at once to God. As soon as they heard, they responded. And because of that, they were the first to see Jesus. Would you ask God to change your heart into a humble, an undelayed heart for him this Christmas? The hearts of the shepherds were unashamed. They came to God just like they were. Filthy, just as they were. They came in wonder, and they came in fear. And I'm sure they were more than a little uncertain. But they also came in hope. The Messiah had come. What about you? Are you willing to ask God to change your heart into a heart that is unashamed for him? comfort that'll come with all of its problems and filth and everything that makes up a human heart. The shepherds that night displayed courage. They didn't let anything stand in the way between them and finding their Savior. Now remember, they had plenty of excuses that they could have used. They could have said, well, we're unclean. We can't go and see the Messiah like this. They could have said, who's going to watch the sheep? If we leave, sheep are not very smart. They're going to run off. They could have said, what if we can't find them? What if this was all some big hallucination? What if when we get there, they won't let us in? Please ask God for a courageous heart this Christmas. A heart that won't accept any excuse. A heart that's determined to find Him. And the last thing that I would say is that humble shepherds were, for lack of a better word, unswerved. They were focused. They were committed. They knew that they were going against culture. They were going against the crowd. They knew that they weren't supposed to be the ones to go to see the show, to see the king. That was the job of the priest. That was the job of the Pharisees. They were just shepherds. And most of the time, shepherds were unwelcomed in public because I told you earlier they were defiled. They were not allowed in the temple. Why? Probably because they smelled. Will you ask God to change your heart so that it is unswerved, so that it is focused, so that it is determined to see and be with Him this Christmas? The shepherds of Christmas give us a profound lesson in how to encounter Christ this Christmas. And my prayer is that we will take their advice and learn to follow Him in the same way. Let's pray. Father, thank You for using the least. Thank You for using the despised. Thank You for using those that are so far away from You to reveal who You really are and who Your Son is. Father, it's overwhelming that the God of heaven would come to the muck and the mire of earth, knowing how You were going to be treated, knowing that You were going to be despised, knowing that You were going to be crucified. But You did it anyway. For people who couldn't even begin to understand, much less love and appreciate your sacrifice. Man, that was a big ask. But you did it. And you did it willingly and lovingly. Father, open our eyes and our hearts so we can live lives that are worthy of that great sacrifice. Teach us again, Father, to learn to love you. And we say this all in your Son's name, Jesus the Christ, our Savior, our Messiah. And the people of God said, amen. If all of this is a little bit fuzzy for you, if this is the first time you've heard this story, or maybe it's the first time you've heard it in this way, and something clicked inside. Pastor Jonathan and I, the elders, deacons, your family would love nothing more than to have a conversation about it with you. Because our prayer would be that you encounter Christ this Christmas.